السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So inshallah we'll be discussing a few verses from tonight's Taraweeh. The program has it as tafsir, but in reality we're not going to be doing any tafsir. It's just a few points of benefit, inshallah. So in tonight's Taraweeh, we started off with the second half of Suratul Ahzab. So at the beginning of the surah, continuing from yesterday, Allah Ta'ala is addressing the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. And Allah Ta'ala tells them, Ya Nisa An-Nabi Lastunna Ka'ahadim Minan Nisa, that O wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you all are not like other women. You all have a superiority, a virtue over all other women. Yanittaqaytun, with the condition that you observe Allah Ta'ala's taqwa. So Allah gives certain instructions to them, which is an instruction to these, to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is also an instruction to all the believing women, but them being the examples for women of this ummah till the day of Qiyamah, it is given to them first. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, do not lower your voices when you are speaking, meaning that when you speak, when you have to speak, then speak in a manner that does not attract a person. Do not lower the voice where it can create something within the heart of a person in whose heart has sickness, the sickness of lust. So different people have different qualities in their hearts, but one thing that is very, very important is that when a woman out of necessity has to speak, she has to ensure that she speaks in a manner that is not alluring, that is not attractive in any way. The next thing Allah Ta'ala says is, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, remain in your homes. Now this is the asal of the masala of hijab, that a woman remains in her home, she does not leave the home except out of necessity. So in the privacy of her home, she is secure, she is safe from the gaze and from the influences of all evil people. So this is the first thing Allah Ta'ala says, remain in your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى, and do not display yourself in the way that people did in the time of Jahiliyyah, that is before Islam, where the women would dress inappropriately. They would go out with this express intention of trying to attract men. وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and establish salat, give zakat, and obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of these instructions, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْزَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, it is to remove any kind of filth from you, meaning that to protect you and safeguard you from all kinds of harmful influences. So this masala of hijab, of the way a woman should conduct herself, it is there to protect the woman from all kinds of harmful influences. And in particular, the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala refers to them as Ahlul Bayt. So Ahlul Bayt refers to all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including the rest of his family, his children, etc. This term is used for all of them, although in this particular context the address is directly to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then another instruction Allah Ta'ala gives, وَاسْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, that when you are in your homes, you should remember what has been recited of the verses of Allah and the hikmah, referring to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the things that you should occupy yourself with. Inna Allaha kana latifan khabira. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu zkurullaha dhikran kathira. Allah Ta'ala addresses the people of Iman and says that remember Allah Ta'ala frequently, abundantly, dhikran kathira. So this instruction has come several times in the Quran. واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Just a few verses before, Allah Ta'ala mentions amongst the qualities of the believing men and women, وَذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتٍ. So to remember Allah Ta'ala frequently and abundantly, this is something very, very important. Once a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, إِنَّ شَرَائِ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ, that the laws of Islam have become many. There are many things, many ahkam that we have to follow. So give me some advice, something comprehensive that I can do that will make this easy for me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Let your tongue remain moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person engages in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala constantly, then you'll find that the noor that comes into his heart, because when he is remembering Allah, Allah is remembering him. So Allah ta'ala's attention is on this person's heart. Allah's rahmah is flowing into the heart of that person. And you'll find that the tawfiq of engaging in the various amal comes into the person now. So this zikr is the key to everything. And this is the whole aim of our mashayikh, the people of the tasawwuf, is to make these hearts active with the zikr of Allah, to bring the zikr of Allah alive in the heart, so that this becomes the foundation on which everything is based eventually. That everything is mostly motivated now by this desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this consciousness of Allah comes into us so that we can obey the commands of Allah and refrain from the prohibitions. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that the effects of this zikr is هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته, that this salat from Allah Ta'ala comes upon the person. So the Mufassirin mentioned that this salat refers to Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. So this draws Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. Now you'll find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us how to remember Allah Ta'ala in every possible situation and circumstance. You'll find from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to sleep at night, there is no situation, no activity that you engage in except that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us some form of zikr for that. He has taught us a way of connecting ourselves to Allah Ta'ala in whatever that amal is. Whether it is just waking up in the morning and opening your eyes, we start with the zikr of Allah, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. You go to the toilet, there is zikr. You come out of the toilet, there is zikr. You sit down to eat, there is zikr. Every step of the way, you go, you leave the home, there is zikr. There is a zikr that we are taught. Every step of the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us these various masnoon du'as, askar to make. So we need to learn this. We need to, there are kitabs compiled with all of these various askar, these du'as, etc. We should learn this. And let it become a habit in our lives, that everything we do, let us connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we do this, you will find that Allah ta'ala's rahmah will descend on us, and Allah will make everything easy for us, inshallah. Further on, Allah ta'ala speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala mentions certain sifat, attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا, that we have sent you as a shahid, a witness, and a mubashir, one who gives glad tidings, and a nadir, one as a warner. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ, and one who invites and calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the permission of Allah. وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا, and a light, that a lamp that gives off light, a lamp that is illuminating. قَدِ اسْتَنَاهُ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, in his tafsir, he has mentioned that this actually refers to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this light is to reflect from the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those that connect to the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will receive this light. When they bring iman in him, when they follow his teachings, then this light, then you will find that they will draw from this light of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into their own hearts. Now you will find that this is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum enjoyed a superiority over all other creation, because they received this directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being in his presence, they received this nur directly from his heart into their hearts. And you'll find that it has come to us through an unbroken chain. You'll find that this is why we go into the company of our mashayikh, our ulama, to sit in their company to draw this nur from their hearts. Very, very important to keep the sohbah of the Salihin, those that have this connection to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another means of drawing this nur Allah Ta'ala has given us, where Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah Ta'ala instructs us to send salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when we send salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a means of connecting our hearts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in a hadith that when a person recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah has commissioned certain malaika to receive, to take this salat directly from the mouth of that person and convey to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed that this salat has come from this particular person in your ummah. Fulan ibn Fulan, so and so, the son of so and so, your father's name is taken as well. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes aware of this person, his ummah, who is sending salat upon him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciprocates. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sends salat upon him. And this salat is a means of our maghfirat, a means of our hajat being fulfilled, our problems being solved. So this salat, this durood that we recite, is one of the great forms of ibadat. It is something that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the great benefits of this is that the more we recite this, the closer we become to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَقْرَبُكُمْ إِلَيَّ مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُكُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً. That those who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those that recite the most salat upon me. So if you want to get close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to enjoy the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then read as much salat as we can. Every free moment that we can, spend it in salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not difficult. You find that if you condition and train yourself, you find that a lot of times we are just whiling away time. We're driving the car, instead of listening to something of no benefit, instead of speaking things that are of no benefit, busy yourself in salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes you go to a shop, you go to a bank, you're standing in a queue, instead of letting your eyes wander and doing all kinds of other things, just keep yourself busy in salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will see the benefits in your life, inshallah. This connection and bond and love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will develop in your heart through the barakat of salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadeeda. Again, addressing the people of Iman, Allah Ta'ala instructs us to have Allah Ta'ala's taqwa, Allah's fear, to safeguard ourselves against the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, speak that which is correct. Now, qawlan sadeeda, that which is correct, means that everything that the sharia commands you to do, to speak, to be honest, to be truthful in your speech, to say those things that are good and beneficial, and to avoid all those things that are harmful to others as well as to yourself. In other words, don't speak lies, don't give false oaths, don't make ghibat. So this qawlan sadeeda is a very comprehensive term which involves everything. You'll find that in the books of hadith, there are entire chapters written only on the subject of hifzul lisan, of protecting the tongue, of guarding the tongue, and the etiquettes and adab of speaking. So this is something that we need to learn also. We need to go to our ulama, we need to sit in the majalis where these matters are discussed. Read the books of hadith, read the kitab written by the ulama on these matters, and implement it in our lives, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says the effect of this, yuslih lakum a'malakum, that when you control your tongue, then you'll find that your a'mal will become acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you don't control this tongue, then this will be a means of undoing all the good that you do. A person may be performing a lot of ibadat, lot of salat, lot of zikr, lot of tilawat, whatever, he's doing lots of different types of a'mal. But then if he doesn't control this tongue, the benefit of all of that will be lost. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith has mentioned to Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, he mentioned all the great a'mal and their virtues, and then in the end he tells him that the thing that controls all of this, the thing on which all of this depends, is controlling the tongue. So we have to be very, very careful about what we say. As far as possible, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Either if you have something good to say, say it, but if you don't have anything good to say, then keep quiet. In this day is khair. So very important that we are doing, we are engaging in a lot of amal, but make sure that we preserve these amal by controlling our tongues and not saying anything that is inappropriate. 15 minutes are up. Just one last, one or two more points, inshallah. In the next surah, Surah Saba, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the people of Saba. This was a community in Yemen. Now the historians differ as to exactly when this took place. Some say it was in the period just before the coming of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Some say it was a little after that. But what's important is that Allah Ta'ala mentions that these people were enjoying a very prosperous life. After the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and when Iman had come into these people, then for a while Allah Ta'ala blessed them with many, many bounties. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. He says that Jannatani ayyamini wa shimal. There was this valley in which there was this town called Ma'arib, where on either side on the mountains the rain used to come, and then these people, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with the ingenuity of creating a dam which was able to collect this water, and they used this dam to irrigate the area around them. They had gardens that used to extend for miles and miles and miles, and all kinds of fruit and all kinds of benefits they were getting from that. And Allah Ta'ala says, Baldatun Tayyiba, it was such a pure and beautiful place that no harmful insects or anything even existed there. And they enjoyed a very peaceful and prosperous life. In fact, those historians that speak about it and who visited that place, they said it was like Jannat on earth. But then, as time went on, these people began to change their ways. They began to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they began disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala changed their condition. He caused this dam to burst. There was a flood that destroyed everything. It destroyed the homes. Many people lost their lives. And those that survived also, Allah ta'ala scattered them throughout the lands. They no longer inhabited that place. That place became a wasteland. So the lesson in all of this is that we need to value the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make shukr of it. And utilize the things that Allah ta'ala has given us for the pleasure of Allah. Very, very important. We should not become absorbed in the things of this dunya. This is where people went astray. Allah ta'ala repeats this over and over again in the Quran, Bani Israel, the story here, where people, when they become absorbed in the dunya, and this becomes their objective in life, that they live for this dunya and its pleasures, then they begin to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it becomes very, very easy for shaitan to overpower them. Because once that love for dunya settles into the heart, shaitan has something to use against them all the time. And so shaitan will take them away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ingratitude sets in, arrogance sets in, all these spiritual diseases. And then in the end, ultimately, Allah ta'ala sent many Anbiya alayhi salam to these people, but they refuse to heed the message of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Allah ta'ala doesn't even punish immediately. Allah gives respite, Allah gives a chance. But eventually, when people persist on these evil activities, when they persist on their arrogance and haughtiness, then Allah ta'ala's azab comes. So this is something that we need to take to heart also. These lessons are mentioned in the Quran, not just for the historical benefit to understand what happened in the past, but so that we don't make the same mistakes. And if you look at the condition of the Ummah today, we will find that we have fallen into this trap as well. That we have made these mistakes, we are repeating the mistakes that the people of the past made, and that is why we are in the situation we are today. We always lament about the condition that the Ummah is in. And, you know, people are looking for a way out, a solution to the problem. The solution that Allah has given us in the Quran, but we need to adopt it in our lives. This is the important thing. And that brings us to the next surah, where there is Surah Fatir, where Allah Ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ أَوْرَسْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that we had given this kitab, that is the Quran Sharif, to those whom we had chosen of our slaves, that is the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this kitab was the kitab that abrogated all books in the past, and this will be the kitab that will be the constitution of for insan till the day of Qiyamah. It will give him the guidelines as to exactly how to live his life in this world so that he may be successful here as well as in the Akhirah. But Allah Ta'ala says this ummah will be divided into three categories of people. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. They are those that have oppressed themselves. Now what does the oppression mean here in this context? It means that they do not take benefit from the Qur'an. That they have the Qur'an, but either they do not recite it, they do not take time to understand its meaning, and they do not implement its teachings. So they deprive themselves of all the khair and benefit that Allah would have given. The Qur'an is full of barakah. When we recite the Qur'an, when we learn the message of the Qur'an and implement it in our lives, then you will find that Allah will fill our lives with barakah and blessings. But when we do not adopt what's in the Qur'an, like Allah Ta'ala has given us so many different ahkam you'll find in the Qur'an. When we don't follow these ahkam, or when we do the things that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited in the Qur'an, then you will find that we are now making zulm on ourselves, because we are depriving ourselves of Allah's rahmah and Allah's barakat and blessings, and at the same time we are now exposing ourselves to the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in dunya as well as akhirah. So this is the first category of people. The second Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. Then there are those that are moderate, that they will do just about what is enough to fulfill their faraid, to do what is necessary, but that's about it. And then there is a third category, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Those that go ahead in goodness. In other words, they look at this Qur'an with reverence, with love. They take to heart all the teachings of the Qur'an and they make an effort to implement it in their lives, to follow whatever Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Qur'an. So they don't just stick to the faraid, the essentials of deen, but they go that extra mile and engage in the nawafil also, and they become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَزَالُ يَتَقَرَّبُ عَلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. That Allah Ta'ala says that those now who go that extra mile, they try to bring all of these teachings of the Qur'an into their lives. So these are the people who will go ahead, and these are the ones that will be successful. So we need to assess our lives. In fact, these 10 days now that we have, one of the important things that we need to do is to introspect and reflect into our lives and assess our lives in light of this, that how much of the Qur'an is in my life, how much are the teachings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you look at the Qur'an, you can't ignore the Sunnah, because the Sunnah is the bayan of the Qur'an. So we have to look at how much of the Sunnah is in our life, how much of the Qur'an have I implemented, and how much of what is in the Qur'an that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited is in my life also. We've got to look at that as well. So this is the time to reflect and look and see how we can bring our lives back into conformity with the Qur'an. If we do this, you will find that all our problems will be solved in dunya and akhirah, in our individual lives and collectively as an ummah also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.